into different hellish conditions life after life, to be punished by the laws of nature. The basic principle of his suffering is that he foolishly thinks himself independent, although he is due to the influence of the three modes of nature, and therefore each human being also works under three different types of influence. According to how he acts, he suffers different reactions in his next life or in this life. Religious persons act differently from atheists, and therefore they suffer different reactions. Sukadeva Goswami describes the following 28 hells: Tamishra, Andatamishra, Raurava, Maharaurava, Kumbhipaka, Kalasutra, Asipatravana, Sukaramukha, Andakupa, Krimi Bhojana, Sandhamsha, Taptasurmi, Vajrakantaka Shalmali, Vaitarani, Puyodha, Pranadhoda, Vishasana, Lala Bhaksha, Sarameyadhana, Avichi, Ayahpana, Kshara-Kardama, Rakshogana-Bhojana, Shulaprota, Dantashuka, Avata-Nirodhana, Paryavartana, and Suchimukha. A person who steals another money, wife or possession is put into the hell known as Tamishra. A man who tricks someone and enjoys his wife is put into the extremely hellish condition known as Andatamishra. A foolish person absorbed in the bodily concept of life, who on the basis of this principle maintains himself or his wife and children by committing violence against other living entities, is put into the hell known as Raurava. There the animals he killed take birth as creatures called Rurus and cause great suffering for him. Those who kill different animals and birds and then cook them are put by the agents of Yamaraja into the hell known as Kumbhipaka, where they are boiled in oil. A person who kills a Brahmana is put into the hell known as Kala Sutra, where the land perfectly level and made of copper is as hot as an oven. The killer of a Brahmana burns in that land for many years. One who does not follow scriptural injunctions but who does everything whimsically or follows some rascal is put into the hell known as Asipatravana. A government official who poorly administers justice or who punishes an innocent man is taken by the assistance of Yamaraja to the hell known as Sukaramukha, where he is mercilessly beaten. God has given advanced consciousness to the human being. Therefore, he can feel the suffering and happiness of other living beings. The human being, bereft of his conscience, however, is prone to cause suffering for other living beings. The assistance of Yamaraja put such a person into the hell known as Andakupa, where he receives proper punishment from his victims. Any person who does not receive or feed a guest properly, but who personally enjoys eating, is put into the hell known as Krimi Bhojana. There, an unlimited number of worms and insects continuously bite him. A thief is put into the hell known as Sandhamsha. A person who has sexual relations with a woman who is not to be enjoyed is put into the hell known as Taptasurmi. A person who enjoys sexual relations with animals is put into the hell known as Vajrakantaka Shalmali. A person born into an aristocratic or highly placed family but who does not act accordingly is put into the hellish trench of blood, pus and urine called the Vaitarani River. One who lives like an animal is put into the hell called Puyodha. A person who mercilessly kills animals in the forest without sanction is put into the hell called Pranarodha. A person who kills animals in the name of religious sacrifice is put into the hell named Vishasana. One who sets a fire or administers poison to kill someone is put into the hell known as Sharameyadhana. A man who earns his livelihood by bearing false witness is put into the hell known as Avichi. A person addicted to drinking wine is put into the hell named Ayahpana. One who violates etiquette by not showing proper respect to superiors is put into the hell known as Kshara-Kardama. A person who sacrifices human beings to Bhairava is put into the hell called Rakshogana Shulaprota. A person who gives trouble to others is put into the hell known as Dandashuka. One who imprisons a living entity within a cave is put into the hell known as Avata Nirodhana. A person who shows unwarranted wrath toward a guest in his house is put into the hell called Paryavartana. A person maddened by possessing riches and thus deeply absorbed in thinking of how to collect money is put into the hell known as Suchimukha. After describing the hellish planets, Sukadeva Goswami describes how pious persons are elevated to the highest planetary system where the demigods live, and how they then come back again to this earth when the results of their pious activities are finished. Finally, he describes the universal form of the Lord and glorifies the Lord's activities. Thus ends the summary of this chapter, the description of hellish planets. So now the verse which are going, all are text verse basically, so there is no shlokas. I'll read the translation, and only two shlokas have got the purport, then we will go into further discussion. The first shloka is being asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Sukadeva Goswami, the first verse translation. King Parikshit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, "My dear sir, why are the living entities put into different material situations? Kindly explain this to me." Shri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura explains that the different hellish planets within the universe are held slightly above the Garbhotaka ocean and remain situated there. This chapter describes how all sinful persons go to these hellish planets and how they are punished there by the assistance of Yamaraja. Different individuals with different bodily features enjoy or suffer various reactions according to this past deeds. The next shloka answered by Sukadeva Goswami. The great sage Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear king, in this material world there are three kinds of activities, those in the mode of goodness, the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. Because all people are influenced by the three modes of material nature, the results of their activities are also divided into three. One who acts in the mode of goodness is religious and happy. One who acts in passion achieves mixed misery and happiness. And one who acts under the influence of ignorance is always unhappy and lives like an animal. Because of the varying degrees to which the living entities are influenced by the different modes of nature, their destinations are also of different varieties." The third verse, the continuation of Sukadeva Goswami's answer. Just as by executing various pious activities, one achieves different positions in heavenly life, by acting impiously, one achieves different positions in hellish life. Those who are activated by the material mode of ignorance engage in impious activities, and according to the extent of their ignorance, they are placed in different grades of hellish life. If one acts in the mode of ignorance because of madness, his resulting misery is the least severe. One who acts impiously but knows the distinction between pious and impious activities, he is placed in hell of intermediate severity. And for one who acts impiously and ignorantly because of atheism, the resultant hellish life is worst. Because of ignorance, every living entity has been carried by various desires into thousands of different hellish planets since time immemorial. I shall try to describe them as far as possible. The next shloka is again asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Sukadeva Goswami. King Parikshit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, "My dear Lord, are the hellish regions outside the universe, within the covering of the universe, or in different places on this planet?" The next shloka again, Sukadeva Goswami answers, number 5 and number 6. The great sage Sukadeva Goswami answered, "All the hellish planets are situated in intermediate space between the three worlds and the Garbhodaka ocean. They lie on the southern side of the universe beneath Bhumandala and slightly above the water of the Garbhodaka ocean. Pitraloka is also located in this region between the Garbhodaka ocean and the lower planetary systems. All the residents of Pitraloka headed by Agnishvata, meditate in great samadhi and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and always wish their families well. Purport. As previously explained, below are planetary systems, or seven lower planetary systems, the lowest of which is called Patala Loka. Beneath Patala Loka are other planets known as Naraka Loka or the hellish planets. At the bottom of the universe lies the Garbhotaka ocean. Therefore, the hellish planets lie between Patala Loka and Garbhotaka ocean. The last verse of today, just text 6. Again, Sukadeva Goswami continues. The king of the Pitas is Yamaraja, the very powerful son of the sun god. He resides in Pitraloka with his personal assistants, and while abiding by the rules and regulations set down by the Supreme Lord, has his agents, the Yamadutas, bring all the sinful men to him immediately upon their death. After bringing them within his jurisdiction, he properly judges them according to their specific sinful activities and sends them to one of the many hellish planets for suitable punishments. Purport. Yamaraja is not a fictitious or mythological character. He has his own abode, Pitraloka, of which he is king. Agnostics may not believe in hell, but Shukadeva Goswami affirms the existence of the Naraka planets, which lie between the Garbhotaka ocean and Patala Loka. Yamaraj is appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to see that the human beings do not violate his rules and regulations. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.17, Karmanohi api bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmanaha, akarmanascha bodhavyam gahana karmano gatihi. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. One should understand the nature of karma, vikarma, and akarma, and one must act accordingly. This is the law of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conditioned souls who have come to this material world for sense gratification are allowed to enjoy the senses under certain regulative principles. If they violate these regulations, they are judged and punished by Yamaraj. He brings them to the hellish planets and properly chastises them to bring them back to Krishna consciousness. By the influence of Maya, however, the conditioned souls remain infatuated with the mode of ignorance. Thus, in spite of repeated punishment by Yamaraj, they do not come to their senses, but continue to live within the material condition, committing sinful activities again and again. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports to this verse. Om ajnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So till yesterday we were discussing about the glories of Lord Anantadeva, on whose hoods all the planetary systems are being held. And today we start a new chapter, chapter 26, which is the description of the hellish planets. Earlier we saw that Sukadeva Goswami was describing about the different planetary systems and the living conditions in different planets. And naturally Parikshit Maharaj asked, why the different living beings are put into different material conditions? And in answer to this, Sukadeva Goswami is telling the living beings, according to the activities which the living being performs, that according to its different modes, the activities are performed, and according to the influence of these different modes and the degree of varying modes, he gets different destinations. And in the course of answering, Parikshit Maharaj is talking about the heavenly planets and also hellish planets. And Parikshit Maharaj, obviously, the next question is, where is the location of these hellish planets? Here it is, Srila Prabhupada clearly says that the location of the hellish planets is between the Patala Loka and the Garbhotaka ocean, lies the Naraka Loka. And Sukadeva Goswami is also explaining that who is the in charge and who are the people will go to that Loka. And if he says that who is the in charge, and in fact he says that who is the father of that in charge. And in that process, Sukadeva Goswami explains about all these planets. And one may ask, why are these hellish planets are being mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which speaks about pure devotional service. In the summary of this chapter, Srila Prabhupada starts with this verse of Bhagavad Gita, Prakrite Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sharvashaha Ahankara Vimudhatma Kartaham Iti Manyate. The Lord, as a perfect doctor, diagnoses the disease of a person. As a perfect doctor diagnoses disease, the same way the Lord diagnoses the spirit soul's disease, that the spirit soul is identifying himself with the false ego. He thinks himself that he is the doer, and we have forgotten our true position, our true ego, our eternal position, which is Jivera Surupahoya Krishnera Nityadasa. Having forgotten this position, we become servants to our senses, name, fame, power, position, and so on. And in fact, in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada says that forgetting this law, that the greatest offense is that forgetting our eternal position to this Esham Tvantagapam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam. Through this shloka, Srila Prabhupada writes that it's a great violence to the Lord's law. That's forgetting our eternal position. Atheists may argue that just to make people to be moral and to lead a moral life, there is these description of hellish planets and heavenly planets are mentioned. As such, there is nothing. Just to make people to scare and to lead a good life, to lead a moral life, they say that. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see that there is authentic description that where are those hellish planets, who will go there, and who is the in charge of this planet, who is appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who is his father. All these descriptions are seen in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And when we discuss about this Prakriti Kriyamanani, due to our false ego, this is disease, we are in the diseased condition, and this disease is there, is deep rooted, and the suffering is there for time immemorial. That is why our Shadu, the Shastras, have given the medication as what is the treatment for such severe deep rooted disease. As in a severe disease, we have to take the medication every day without fail. If we don't take the medication, we are the losers. The same way, the Guru, Shadu and Shastras have given us the medication. If we see the Sadagoshwami Ashtakam, Srinivasacharya Shesh, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibhi Kala Vasani Krithau. It says Nama Gana and Natibhi. We have to do the prescribed number of, say, the prescribed number of nama. That means our prescribed number of chanting, 16 rounds of chanting without fail, our different prayers. This nama is over, then gana, our different songs, which is the prayers of the Supreme Lord, which is given by the acharyas, which is given by the Guru Parampara, which is prescribed our Srila Prabhupada, by our Prabhupada, which starts from our Mangalarti, our Narsingarti, Tulsi Arti, then Guru Puja, then Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and then to our respective services and serving the devotees, and then comes the evening program where we have Sandhya Arti. Again the same routine follows, Narsingarti and Tulsi Arti, and then we have a Bhagavad Gita class. So the day is filled with hearing, chanting, serving, and all these prescribed number of nama, gana. And if we see Natibhi, the obeisances, the prescribed number of obeisances, when we say the obeisances, when we say what Premadvani prayers after the end of the Arati, we can say for everyone, for our Guru Parampara, our predecessor Acharyas, Tulsi Maharani, Gangamai, Yamunamai. So we pray our obeisance to everyone, though Srila Prabhupada has like like in a constrained line, in a smaller way, but we pray obeisances to all these when we do our Premadvani prayers. So in that way, it is done. The prescribed number of Nama, Gana and Natibhi, Sankhya, Purvaka, Nama, Gana, Natibhi, Kala, Vasani, Krutav. So Shri Prabhupada has given us in the sandwich program everything which can be done, like Nama, Gana and Natibhi is accomplished. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakura prays, just Jiva Jago, Jiva Jago, Gaura Chanda Bole, means enough of giving treatment to our material body. Please start give treatment to your spiritual, which is you, which is your true position. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakura says. To perform this fixed devotional service, the Lord explains three conditions in Bhagavad Gita chapter 7. Esham Tvantagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmana. Esham Tvantagatam Papam. One has to be free from sinful life. Jananam Punya Karmana. One has to perform the devotional activities. As a result, one is free from duality and illusion. Esham Tvantagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmana. Te Dvandva Moha Nirmukta. As a result, we bhajate ma drida vrittaha. We can perform our devotional service with determination. So it is clear from the Lord's verse that we have to perform our devotional activities free from sinful life. In order to highlight that, in Srimad Bhagavatam there is an elaborate description of hellish planets as who, what is the destination of people who perform, who commit sinful activities. Therefore, it is necessary for a serious devotee, when he practices devotional life, to be free from all these sinful activity, and there should be a discrimination between pious activity, impious activity and devotional activities. To stress this point, in fact, in the last verse of which is 6, Shri Prabhupada has quoted, Karmanohi api bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmanaha, akarmanascha bodhavyam gahana karmano gatihi. If you see karmano, the intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is karma, karma. What forbidden action is, which is vikarma, and what inaction is, which is akarma. One should understand the nature of karma, vikarma and akarma, and one must act accordingly. Otherwise, Srila Prabhupada shouldn't have quoted this verse. Because we have to have the discrimination of what action is, what forbidden action is, and what are devotional activities. However, one may argue that since we have taken up devotional life, we are chanting the holy names of the Lord. The holy names of the Lord are enough to eradicate all the sinful reactions, which is very nicely quoted in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in chapter 2, which says the glories of the holy name, which I'd like to read. The chanting of the holy name of the Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement for a thief of gold or other valuables, for a drunkard, for one who betrays a friend or relative, for one who kills a brahmana, or one who indulges in sex with the wife of his guru or another superior. It is also the best method of atonement for one who murders women, the king or his father, for one who slaughters cows, and for all other sinful men. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract the attention of Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. In fact, the concluding shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam says, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Samanas Tam Namami Harimparam. Yes, it is true that the glories of the chanting of the holy name is eradicating all sinful reactions that a man can perform. In such a case, Srila Prabhupada shouldn't have given any purport to these verses, and just he would have written in the summary study that as we are chanting the holy names of the Lord, a devotee need not worry about sinful actions, because we need not worry about the hellish planets also. But when the devotee chants the holy name of the Lord, on the strength of the holy name of the Lord, he is keep on committing sinful reactions. It accounts to the seventh offense. When we refer to the story of Ajamila, we see that he was chanting the holy names in Nama Bhash, not with Nama Aparad. He was chanting his son's name, keep on calling his son's name, but he didn't have the knowledge that those holy names are counteracting his sinful reactions which he was performing all in his life. Even at the end of his life, during his death, he called the name of Narayana, his son, not to save his life from going to hellish planets, but out of fear, he chanted the holy name of Narayana. When he heard the arguments between the Vishnudutas and Yamadutas, he realized the potency of the holy name, and having realized it, he didn't continue his sinful life after that. He left his sinful life and went to Haridwar and started performing devotional service in full swing. But he could have thought, oh, this holy name has got so much potency that it can counteract all my sinful actions. So let me continue my life with a prostitute and keep on continuing my sinful life. No, having got this knowledge that we say once burnt, twice shy. So he got this knowledge and immediately he went to Haridwar. So this point is so important, that having taken up devotional life, when we take up devotional service, and at the time of initiation, when the yajna is conducted, all our sinful actions are completely eradicated. And Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Devotion that this devotional service is like a forest fire, where in the forest fire, the dried leaves, the reptiles, the snakes which are there are all burnt. The same way when we take up devotional service, when we start chanting the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All our sinful actions are completely eradicated. But that doesn't mean that a person can continue this sinful life and at the same time, on the strength of the holy names, can chant the holy names of the Lord. On the strength of the holy name, he can commit sinful activities simultaneously. That is why the description of these hellish planets are mentioned in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. That who are those people who will go to these hellish planets? And that is why we generally have this tradition or the practices that before initiation there is usually a lecture of 10 offenses to the holy name of the Lord. If a person is keep on chanting the holy name of the Lord and thinks that at the same time he can commit sinful activities, it accounts to 7 offense, and that offense will destroy his devotional life. Not immediately, but the progress is maybe slower. But this offense is very, Mahaprabhu has said the offense is, he compares to the mad elephant offense. So these offenses are very important. So we have to avoid those offenses and chant the holy names of the Lord seriously. And this description of this hellish planet in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam is an encouragement and a warning to us to practice our devotional life free from sins and chant the holy name of the Lord offenselessly. Otherwise, there is no necessary for Srila Prabhupada to write such an elaborate purport and summary to these the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is important that we do our chanting nicely and avoid sinful actions and progress in this life itself. So I'll conclude this class here. Thank you so much for listening patiently. Any questions, comments or chastisement?
It's very frightening, these descriptions of these different hellish planets. So how we can be assured by chanting that we're freed from those reactions. That's correct, right? Okay, so then we have the other problem is, as you're saying, not to commit offenses by considering that by chanting I can relieve myself of these offenses. So sometimes we're feeling very fallen and we're wondering, how is it possible? We actually doubt the potency of the holy name because we recognize our proclivity or our tendency to recommit sinful activities. So we're supposed to be feeling, in a sense, in a fallen condition, and at the same time we're supposed to be hopeful that we'll be able to transcend these punishments, if not go back to God, at least transcend these punishments. So how do we reconcile those different mentalities?
So the one thing is devotion. We all are from different backgrounds. The sinful proclivity is there. But we see in Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami says that the cycle of sin, there is a cycle of sin, he explains, where when we take up devotional service, our prarabdha is destroyed. And he keep on saying there are kutam, bijam, the sinful proclivity and the sinful seed. But everything is destroyed. Just Prabhupada gives the example of a fan. When we switch off the fan, though it's with the motion of the fan is still going on, means like the previous vasana is still there, but it can be eradicated by the association of devotees, by regular chanting. That is why I was just mentioning about the Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibhi. And in fact, Srila Prabhupada says, it is mentioned in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Ajamila story itself, that a patient may not know the potency of the medicine, but he will take it. He doesn't know whether the medicine acts as such or not. He may not know the efficacy of the medicine. The same way, we may not know the efficacy of the potency of the chanting of the holy name. But the proof is our Guru Sadhu and Shastras, our Srila Prabhupada, that the chanting of the holy name is the only means for us to deliver in this from this age of Kali. This is what I just want to tell. The proclivity is there, of course, but by regular chanting, because the proof is there from our acharyas that is the only way. Keep on chanting, chant. That is the only way to progress in our spiritual life. Of course, the proclivity is there, but we have to fight against Maya every time. That is why this Sankhya, the treatment we have to take every day, 24 hours, not even wasting a time. What is the third verse? Sinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishna amanina manadana kirtaniya sadaharihi. We dovetail all our activities, keeping centered as Lord Hari. So that's how our treatment is. Because since the disease is very severe and deep-rooted, the suffering is there. But we have to have the medicine without fail. If we miss any one program, then we are the loser. We lose to take the medicine at that particular point of time in a day. We lose that opportunity, the golden opportunity which we had got. And the main thing is, and only in this human life we can understand that this is the suffering, and that too by the mercy of all the Vaishnavas and Srila Prabhupada, that we have understand that this human life is a great boon, and this body is a suffering which we understand. And having understood this, and having understood what Srila Prabhupada has given, has freely distributed the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, and Srila Prabhupada was an instrument, powerful instrument for all of us, for all the devotees, for the next coming 10,000 years. And that is the greatest boon which we have ever received, just to chant the holy names of the Lord incessantly and dovetail all our activities in the service of the holy name, holy name of the Lord, in the mission of Srila Prabhupada, in the mission of Mahaprabhu. And hope that satisfies this answer.
Thank you, Mataji, for a wonderful class. My question is, in this fifth canto we see an apt description of the hellish planets. But not all of the sinful activities are explained here. So the first part is, where is the direction about the rest of the sinful activities, and is that required? Second part of my question is, we have the first Gayatri Mantra, and the first Gayatri Mantra alludes to the upper seven planetary systems. And in fact, in that mantra, it seems to deny the existence of the lower planetary systems. In fact, it is not within our meditation when we are using the Gayatri Mantras. Is that its intention? Is that what the intention is to ignore the lower aspects and just concentrate on the upper planetary systems?
Your question is, when we speak about the Gayatri Mantra, it takes us to the higher planetary systems, am I right? And we don't have to worry about the lower planetary systems. And not all the sins are being mentioned in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, or the destination of a person.
Correct, yeah.
Probably, yes, maybe the very gross sins, which is having a very great effect, those are mentioned in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And regarding the Gayatri Mantra, we have seen that the Gayatri Mantra is for a Vaishnava. To become a Vaishnava, the first thing is holy names of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada, in fact, he says about in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, very first verse, Janmati Yase Eto Anvayati Taratashchateshu. In this first verse, he says that the holy names of the Lord is the first one which gives the qualification. It is not the Brahma Gayatri. A person cannot immediately chant the Brahma Gayatri. A person has, from any birth, we can chant the holy name of the Lord. We did not have any previous qualification. Prerequisite is not required. But to chant the Brahma Gayatri, one requires a prerequisite. He should be in the platform of a Brahmana. Then only he is given the Brahma Gayatri Mantra. In the previous ages it was different, but from our previous acharyas, we see that the holy names is the one which is purifying us, because we are not qualified to chant the Brahma Gayatri Mantra. We get the qualification because the holy name itself, which is Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho, it is Purna Shuddho. We are only impure, but the mantra is Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto. So the mantra is pure, but we are impure. To cleanse ourselves, we have to chant the holy name of the Lord and get the qualification to receive the Brahma Gayatri and to become a Brahmana. Just by chanting the holy name of the alone itself is enough to go back to spiritual world. One doesn't have to chant, it is not necessary, compulsory, mandatory to get the Brahma Gayatri to go to the spiritual world. But only the holy name alone can take us to the spiritual world. The Brahma Gayatri, which we receive, having some qualification only, we can chant the Brahma Gayatri. Even in Brahma Gayatri, one becomes a Brahmana. One doesn't become a Vaishnava. But when a Vaishnava, the position of a Vaishnava is even greater than a Brahmana. A Brahmana's position, maybe by nowadays it is not possible, but in previous ages the Brahmana position was discriminated according to the birth he takes. But our movement is different. Like Mahaprabhu said, as I think Rupa Goswami, bhakti is for everyone. Bhakti is everyone's right. So we, having born as a human being, everyone has a right to perform devotional service. So in that case, we all have the opportunity to chant the holy names of the Lord and thus make our human life successful. And by chanting the holy names of the Lord, we get the qualification, we get purified ourselves. And when we see, the first thing before we take our initiation is, we have to follow the four regulative principles. The chanting of the holy names is cleansing internally, and the four regulative principles, why we are following the four regulative principles is to avoid gross sins. So the gross sins is avoided, and the internal cleansing is happening by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It says that the Lord personally comes and cleanses the heart. There is a shloka in Bhagavatam, I think it's in the fifth canto itself. Prahlad Maharaj says that the Lord personally comes. Yet sanga labdham nijavirya vaibhavam. It says that when a person is more interested in hearing the holy names of the Lord personally comes and cleanses the heart. But whereas a person is taking bath in the Ganges river, is taking a longer time to cleanse himself. So who is the person who is not ready to chant or listen to the glories of the holy names of the Lord? That is what Prahlad Maharaj says. So that is the difference between, we have to understand the Brahma Gayatri and the holy names. The holy names itself is sufficient enough for a person to take up to the spiritual world. So we need not worry about any planetary systems, but just it is an encouragement and a warning for us to know about these hellish planets.
A further question, different area, but still talking about planetary systems. When Srila Prabhupada requested the planetary, the temple of the Vedic concept, cosmology of the planets, did he wish to express the hellish planets as a form of arranging people, warning people, you know, not to commit these activities, that's what's going to come to you? And did he want to show the spiritual realms and encourage people to perform activities to head into those spiritual realms?
So your question is about how the planets are arranged, and Srila Prabhupada is interested in describing those planets. Am I right? That is the question you asked, and how the different planets are situated.
Yeah. Yes. Did he intend? Was his request when he requested the planetarium? Was it to warn people of certain activities and to encourage people to engage in further activities? Was that his intention of having a display?
What was the intention of Srila Prabhupada?
So
as devotees, we are satisfied with the holy names, the chanting of the holy names, all our day-to-day activities, our devotional practices. But the planetary systems, and of course it is done in the temple of Vedic planetary, it is basically for the outside people who are not devotees, who are not taken up the devotional services, who are not taken up their human life so seriously and simply wasting their valuable human life. And for those people, Srila Prabhupada has stressed, as such, as devotees, we are very happy with singing all these ashtakams, singing prayers, listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, performing various services. But our main aim is to preach, to help in the mission of Srila Prabhupada, help in the mission of Mahaprabhu, to bring more people into Krishna consciousness movement. And that is the aim of Srila Prabhupada. And in fact, I think recently in Gaurav Purnima lectures, we heard from Shivaram Maharaj that this is the Vedic planetarium, the construction of Vedic planetarium is the boot of Srila Prabhupada, which is going to hit all the scientists who are boosting themselves, that they are very great. Like, all these are for the outsiders to come and take up devotional service, to come and live happily in the home of Srila Prabhupada, which is ISKCON. I hope that satisfies. Thank you. So any other question? In Mataji, yes. Mataji.
Thank you, Divya Lila Mataji, for your wonderful class. Thank you so much. But about this question, where all hellish planets for sins? There is a nice book which collects all commentaries on the fifth canto, and all possible commentaries on the fifth canto, and only once mentioned there that actually there are thousands of hellish planets, but it's mentioned only once. But it is thousands of hellish planets. And regarding to the first Gayatri Mantra, I heard from our senior devotees who is teaching Bhakti Vaibhava. So he said that actually this division of three levels of our universe, which are mentioned in, which is mentioned in first Gayatri Mantra, actually we can take it in different contexts. So in some contexts, this division covers all universe. So it's not only starting with our Bhumandala and up, but also downwards. Thank you so much, Divya Lila. Thank you.
Srimad Bhagavatam Grantaraj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.